It's much easier to move around, and much of Mali, particularly where the bulk of the population live, along the Niger River Valley. In the more extreme northern regions along the periphery of Niger, Algeria, Mauritania, insecurity is still a significant problem, and it's very difficult to move in those areas. Fortunately, not so many people live there. So for the bulk of the people, it's much more accessible. However, there are still continued problems of criminality. There's still problems of banditry. There's still reports of revenge type of attacks because of the nature of the conflict that took place in 2012 and 2013. Some of the rural areas outside the major cities, insecurity can also be a problem. So it's a mixed picture. While it's improving, it's still mixed.
And has this improvement helped the efforts to help those who are displaced during the war, especially in the north of the country?
Well, I think what we've seen is a good movement of people back from a height of over 350,000 people displaced during the conflict down to about 217,000 people today. So that's a clear indication that people are comfortable going back home. I think that's a positive side. Among the refugees, though, the numbers are quite in proportion fewer who have gone back. They continue to have concerns about reintegrating back into Mali, in northern Mali. And until that perception changes, that movement will be slow. I think with the expansion of security forces on the ground, including the UN forces, that perception could well change. So we need to be prepared for a much larger movement of refugees back into northern Mali in 2014, as well as a continued movement of IDPs back into the north of Mali. I think it'll be a major challenge for us in 2014.
In terms of humanitarian assistance to those who are displaced, what has been the progress? Are you able to access all those who are displaced?
In general, yes. I mean, there are the issues of insecurity that you have to be careful. And we have a lot of very good NGOs working on the ground that provide that kind of assistance. So it's not perfect. There are zones where I think we're not getting as much as we should. It's not being stopped completely, but I'm not sure we're reaching everybody yet. So we need to continue to work with those who can help provide security there to expand that security while we continue to make sure to find means to get out to areas we've not been to make sure that we're not missing populations that need assistance, whether they returned as IDPs, whether they returned as refugees.
You've just launched the appeal for 2014. How much are you looking for and what are the priority areas that need to be addressed?
Well, it's a significant appeal of $568 million. The major areas are food assistance and nutrition, but many other areas remain important, including the support to the refugees. But health and water, education are all important components of that. Food and nutrition assistance has historically been reasonably well funded. Some of the others, such as health, water, education, have not been as well funded. So we're looking to try to find the right to get our donors to contribute in a right balance between these categories so that all aspects of assistance that's required can be provided. And secondly, we're looking at how to get away. The problems in Mali for humanitarian action is not just linked to the conflict. It's also structural. There's malnutrition that is structural in nature. Most of the malnourished children are not in northern Mali. They're in southern Mali. And they can be found in some of the most agriculturally productive regions of Mali. So there's structural causes behind malnutrition. And it's not just access to food. It's access to the right kinds of food at the right time, right kind of medical care. So all of these things need to be worked upon if we're going to address fundamentally the problem of malnutrition in Mali or countries like Mali. One of our efforts is to work with the Malian government, who is quite engaged on this. They would like to see real progress in this regard, not only provide treatment, but also to provide support to deal with the prevention of malnutrition so that this is not a problem that persists every year from here on out.
Are there any concerns that you have about the levels of malnutrition in Mali?
Yes, it's a very serious issue. It's one of the most serious in the world. So it's important that this be addressed both from a humanitarian point of view in terms of treatment, but also from a structural point of view in terms of addressing those reasons why children become malnourished. They become malnourished under situations of household stress, sometimes lack of food, lack of frequency of meals, lack of quality of food, lack of access to health care, lack of access to clean water. All of this can trigger malnutrition, moderate or even worse, severe malnutrition that can ultimately lead to children dying. UNICEF believes that up to 50,000 children could die in Mali due to a lack of treatment of severe acute malnutrition. So it's important that that be addressed to avoid those kinds of death. But also, malnutrition can lead to stunting and other problems that limit one's ability to have a fully productive life. So there's many reasons to work in this area.